And if possible, I want the children to listen and tell me what the common word is throughout all these scriptures. We're going to start with 1 Chronicles 16, verse 35. In 1 Chronicles 16:35, we read, "And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise." And the next passage I want to read from is Psalm 57. I want to read the whole psalm there. It's a beautiful psalm. There we read, "To the chief musician, Altasheph, Mictam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpast, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and psalm. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." And then jumping over to the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Well, that's not the right one. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And Galatians 6:14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And jump ahead further to Philippians 1. Verse 9 through 11. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." And let's see, a couple more here. Jude, right before Revelation, Jude 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And in Revelation 7, verse 9 to 12. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and glory, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And then finally, Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Okay, can anybody tell me what the theme or the common word is that was found through all those scriptures? In the back there? Glory. That's it. And the reason why I read all these scriptures was because we want to give God all the glory for this trip. We can see His hand in this trip, even from the beginning. As the decision was made to go to Brazil, we see God's hand and we see God's glory. Now, for many years, we've been sending Portuguese Bibles and tracts to Brazil. And since 2006, I believe we sent close to 1,200 Bibles there. Then, a couple of years ago, our brother Lester, who I don't see here today, but he brought a friend of his to the fellowship, whose name was Harold Gooley. I don't think he's here. Oh, there he is. Harold's here today. I didn't expect him. I thought he was still in Brazil. But Harold, of course, is Brazilian and has been living here in the States for a few years now and speaks perfect Portuguese. He wound up translating the Did God Die for You tract into Portuguese for us. He also translated other materials, including the May 21 tract that recently came out within the last year. So earlier this year, discussions began about the possibility of a mission trip to Brazil and to pass out the May 21 track. Harold and Robin from our fellowship here made a preliminary trip to Sao Paulo a couple of months ago and found an open door there provided by the Lord. After they came back, the decision was made, let's go to Brazil. Harold set up most of the travel plans, including the air travel and taking care of getting us visas, which is required by Brazil, the hotel, and many other things while we were in Brazil. In addition, I want to also mention that many people from the fellowship and maybe from the internet had provided funds to make it possible for this trip for those who needed support to go. The funds helped also to pay for transportation and tracks and other things in Brazil. We appreciate the donations and prayers made by those who were led by the Lord to do so. So everything was set up now, probably back around May, for our 13-person team to go to Sao Paulo from July 10th to the 21st. But again, I want to emphasize that although a lot of work and planning went into setting up this trip, God gets all the glory. We could see his hand in everything that we did. So after many hours, back on the 10th, after many hours of travel from the United States, and one person came from Hawaii, which is the United States, but the 12 of us met at the Sao Paulo airport, and we took a large van to the hotel called the Aclimacio Hotel. Now, this is a picture of the hotel. I'll leave it on the back table after I'm done. And you can see when you look through it that we were really roughing it. Actually, this is a very, very nice hotel. Had all the modern amenities, and so we were living in comfort while we were there. Okay, then we all got there, and but the day before, Harold's friend Roseanne, who is also originally from Brazil but living in the United States, she got there a day early so that she could be there when the 100,000 tracks that were printed in Sao Paulo, she would be at the hotel when they were delivered. And when we got there, she had all 25 boxes of tracks in her room. And so the day we got there, it was raining all day, and it was not a good day to go hand out tracks anyhow. So we moved all the tracks from her room into each of the rooms that I think there was six rooms or five rooms. And we moved four boxes of tracks to each room so that we'd all have access to our own tracks. And the rest of the day we became situated and accustomed to our new temporary home. After having a meal together at the restaurant in the hotel, some of us took the hotel van to the mall. The hotel had a van that ran every hour and took you on a circuit to the metro or to the mall, or there's other places it went. But it was very convenient for us because we used it to go to the metro every day. When we were at the mall, we found that the tracks were well received, and we only bought a small amount of tracks, and they were gone pretty quick, so we were able to go back and get a good night's rest, get ready for the first full day of distribution in the city. Okay, so on Sunday morning, which was the first day of our distribution, we took the metro, which was top-notch. Now, I'm not I don't ride the subway that much, even in Philadelphia, but this metro was impressive, and we never had to wait more than a few minutes if you missed a train, the next one was there in a couple minutes. So it was very convenient for us. The metro was very clean, and we soon found out that the metro police... Is that rain? We soon found out the metro police enforced the rule that there was to be no distribution of literature in the subway or directly outside of the subway exits. So in order for us to get the people that were coming out of the subways, we had to stand behind a boundary that was defined by a white line before we could hand out any tracts. But on this first day that we went into town, we came out of the subway, and it was amazing. We came out onto a large plaza in front of this huge cathedral, and there was hundreds of young people proceeding away and out of the cathedral, walking down. It was slightly pitched away from the cathedral. And there we were, 13 of us, with all these tracks, and it was just amazing that God put all these people there for us to hand out tracks to and be encouraged by. This is a This is a picture. It's hard to see from there, but I'll leave these on the back. These two postcards show the cathedral from different views. And this is right in the center of the city. And really, everything was centered around this cathedral. It was where most of the pedestrian traffic could be found, you know, within a couple of blocks of the cathedral. After we passed out tracts there, we had to go because we had plans already that afternoon to go to a stadium where there was going to be a soccer game that afternoon, a huge soccer game between the home team of Sao Paulo and the rival team of Rio de Janeiro. Rio de Janeiro is, of course, everybody's heard of that. It's a large city in Brazil that's probably several hundred miles away. But we had no plans to go there, but the Lord had plans to bring people there for us. So, you know, after a long van ride, we surrounded the stadium and passed out tracts for a couple of hours. And it was a blessing. Even though at most sporting events you'll find a lot of tracts on the ground, we know that that the Lord's work got accomplished because His word does not go out void, but accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. One anecdote I remember from that trip that I could share is Roseanne, who is the lady from Portugal or from Brazil that speaks Portuguese and living in New York. We were handing out tracts on a corner, and there was a young couple that spoke English, and they asked us if we really believed what this tract was saying, that the end was really going to happen in 2011. And they asked that question after sitting there watching us for a long time. And by God's mercy, they gave us enough time to explain to them with a lot more detail that this is what God taught from the Bible. In fact, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the tract, but I think it's important to understand what we were handing out. The front of the tract, this is the tract that we handed out in Portuguese. Okay. And it says, "Oh, can you say that? O Arrebatamento, 21 de Mayo de 2011." And then underneath it says, "O Fin de Mundo, 21 de Outubro de 2011. In English, that means the rapture, May 21, 2011. This is the English track. And the end of the world, October 21, 2011. So, as you can see, well, first of all, to summarize, this track talks about the fact that God had promised to seal up the end time information in the Bible until time got very close to the end. Now that we are very close to the end, God is opening up our understanding to the precise timing and nature of His coming and His judgment in 2011. From studying the Bible and by God's mercy, we can synchronize with our Gregorian calendar that we use the year of important events found in biblical history, such as the creation, which is in 11,013 B.C., the flood that destroyed the world during the time of Noah in 4990 B.C., the birth of Jesus Christ in 7 B.C., the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the start of the church age in 33 A.D., the end of the church age and the start of the Great Tribulation after 13,000 years of Earth's history in the year 1988 A.D., the beginning of the latter rain and God's plan to save a great multitude outside of the churches only in 1994 AD, and the rapture of God's elect to heaven on May 21st, 2011, followed by 5 months of horror on this earth for those left behind, ending with the destruction and annihilation of the entire universe on October 21st, 2011. This is all in our track. Our track also includes information on how to get Family Radio's book, We Are Almost There, which goes into more detail on how the Bible gives us these important dates that I just mentioned from God's calendar of history. The track opens up. It's a legal size paper, so it opens up and pages 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 go into more detail and give the proofs from the Bible why we can know these dates are true. And then finally, the track ends with the hope that today it is still the day of salvation, and that many people around the world are still being saved all the way up until May 21st, 2011, only by the exclusive work of the Word of God. Now, beginning on Monday, which was the beginning of the work week down there, for the rest of the time in Sao Paulo, we tried to work in the following groups. And I hope these people don't mind that I'm naming names here, but these are the people that went on the trip. Chris, Roseanne from New York, and Daniel from New York, and me. We were part of one group. Ashley from, I believe, Buffalo or Erie. Shari from Michigan. Jason, who is a brother we met who came from Hawaii. And Bill Burton. They were all part of the second group. And then Robert from the fellowship here. Lester, Harold, Jackie from the fellowship. And Frederick from Coney Island. Were part of the third, made up the third group. Beginning on Monday, we went out into the city and began to spread God's word and his warning of judgment in 2011. Now, it's hard for me to speak about what happened to the other two groups, but therefore, much of the rest of this report is taken from my perspective. For much of the time, my group worked either around the cathedral that I just showed you, or we walked a few blocks away, or took the metro a few stops further near a large square where there was a tremendous amount of pedestrian traffic. People coming to work, people shopping. If you've been to New York City and experienced all the people there around Times Square, it was like that times two. It was just a sea of people. In general, the reception rate was hard to gauge because there's so many people passing by, you really can't tell how many of those people would have taken a track if they had the opportunity. But I guess I would guess around 50%. But the fact is that very few tracks were found on the ground, which was very encouraging. And if there were any tracks on the ground, we tried to pick them up and reuse them or throw them away if they were not able to be reused. During the first couple of days, we had what seemed like a very large inventory of tracks in our room. And we thought, how are we going to get these out to all these people in such a short time? That was at least my feeling. We thought we wouldn't have enough time to do this in 10 days. However, there were so many people to hand tracts out to that we found, like Monday and Tuesday, that it was getting pretty easy to empty our backpacks by early afternoon. On Tuesday and Wednesday, some of us brought the airline carry-on bags that you would, be able to throw up into the overhead rack on an airplane. And these were full of tracts, in addition to the backpacks that were full of tracts. So we were able to reload. Once our backpacks were done, we were able to reload out of these carry-on bags. And this enabled us to stay out longer and deplete what we thought was an excess of tracks in our room. Well, as we took count of what we had in our rooms around Wednesday, we began to realize that we were actually going through the tracks too fast. And at the rate we were going, we would not be able to last until Saturday. And we would have nothing to do Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, which is it's really not what you want to have happen on a track trip. So on short notice, Harold contacted the printer that originally made the 100,000 tracks, and they agreed to make 8,000 tracks for us as long as we could pick them up on Friday, because they were closed for Saturday and Sunday. Okay, so after everybody came back from distribution on Friday in town, we all returned to the hotel and counted up what we had. And I think we only had about 2,000 tracks for the rest of the time we were there, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Harold and Robert were still missing, though. And until about, I think, 7 or 8 o'clock. And that night, on Friday night, and Chris and I heard a knock on our door, and there's Robert and Harold with two huge boxes of tracks. Each box had 5,000 tracks apiece in it. Here, the printer made an extra 2,000 for us for free. And, well, it's one of those things where you got to be there. But in a nutshell, they had to take the Metro on Friday afternoon to the end of the line, and then a taxi further out into the outskirts of Sao Paulo to get to the printer. And they just made it in time before they closed for the weekend, or else the tracks would have been sitting there until Monday. Then they explained that they had to take another taxi back and then stand on the Metro with these huge boxes. And the Metro is loaded with people, so you can imagine trying to negotiate with these boxes that are hard to hold and very heavy to carry, and try to get on the subway car and out of the subway car in time before the door shuts. And I could just picture these guys. Anyhow, after getting off the Metro, they had to carry these boxes back, you know, into the hotel, and they were pretty tired by the time they got back. But I'm telling you all this because God, you can see God's hand in this. There's just no other way that this could have happened besides God working this all out. So, again, God gets all the glory for this, and He kept us busy, provided tracks for us to keep us busy serving Him for the rest of our stay in Sao Paulo. Okay, well, going back to the middle of the week, our group spent much of our time in the large square that I mentioned before, that was a couple of blocks away from the cathedral. And from there, we had our favorite individual spots. Of course, Chris was always going to his funnel that he described, and it was a place where the walkway narrowed so that the foot traffic had to slow down, and it made it easier to give the tracks out one by one. And Roseanne and Daniel and I spent much time on a bridge that connected the pedestrian part of downtown. Like I said, around the cathedral and for many blocks around, it was just pedestrian traffic. But then this bridge connected that pedestrian traffic to the streets that had cars and buses on them. And on this bridge, both sides of the bridge, we manned both sides of the bridge, and thousands of people passed by, and you could hear them as they passed by. I still remember hear people saying this in my head: fim de mundo," which it means the end of the world, the end of the world, because they could read our shirts. We had T-shirts, just like the one I'm wearing now, with the same message, only translated in Portuguese. So as the people walked by, we were a spectacle, because they would read our shirts and then be commenting and taking tracks, and so it was really good that we had these T-shirts. And when distributing these tracks, we tried to hold them out so that you hold them out like this, and the one that we're trying to give out, try to hold it so that they could see the message, because the letters are pretty big, and they could see Fim de Mundo, and that was attracting all of the eyes, and so that even if they didn't take a track, they were getting the warning and the specific date of the end of the world. And the people in Brazil are no different than anywhere else in the world. They had the full range of reactions, mostly of disbelief. No man knows the day or the hour. We hear that all the time, and in the States. And what about the Mayan calendar and 2012? That was even popular down there. And the Bible was written by man. These are common things that we hear and have to defend against here when we bring the gospel. There were also many people that were interested in knowing more about the track and they were trying to ask questions, but of course we couldn't help them because we didn't speak Portuguese. So Harold and Roseanne and Erica, who was a friend of Harold's that lived down in Sao Paulo, they fielded a lot of questions from people. I don't know, a lot of them were genuinely looking for truth, and maybe a lot of them were looking to argue. But it was great that we had those three there to help us with the translation. One man that I directed to Roseanne as we were walking from the subway to the square, he began to argue with her. You know, we were standing there waiting for her, and we were passing out tracts where we were standing, but we could see that he was starting to get contentious, and so I suggested to her that we should pick up and continue walking to the square, but this man wouldn't let her go. His demeanor had changed, and you could see that he wasn't arguing with her anymore. He was more in a position of begging, and he was crying and asking her to explain about the dates and about the track. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but Roseanne told me afterwards that this man had been. He'd been criticizing everything and everybody else while he was arguing with her, but then he began to understand and declare that he was a wretched sinner. And this was a beautiful thing. And so we just let Roseanne talk with him for a while, and then we left the man, but. It leaves you wondering, could this be one of God's elect? We don't know. But he's in God's hands. And these are the people that we want to reach and pray for. Now, when Sunday, the second Sunday came around, we decided not to go into town and pass out tracts, but to save most of the tracts that we had left out of the 10,000 that we got from the printer and the other 2,000 that we found. Some of those we still had left. We decided to save them for Monday, and that would be the last day of distribution. But on Sunday, it was a real blessing. Bill Burton was able to access PalTalk from the hotel restaurant, and he and I listened on earbuds. He had one earbud in his left ear, and I had one earbud in my right ear, and we sat there and listened as Brother Greg brought his message on God's hidden things. And it was just a true blessing to be able to hear God's word. And we were all the way down to Brazil, and it was right there from the fellowship. Later in the afternoon, some of us went out. Now, we thought we weren't going to go out and hand out tracts, but we did. We went out with a handful of tracts, about eight of us. I think it was eight of us, just to walk around the neighborhood. We didn't take any transportation, but we split up into four pairs and then one in four different directions. Ashley, Abraham, and I were together, and we gave out. We were just walking around the neighborhood, and just like around here, you got houses, but we were passing out tracts to people getting in and out of their cars, coming in and out of their house, just like around here, entering and leaving restaurants. But one thing that you can't help but notice in Sao Paulo is that every house, every building is got security fences. There's bars or barbed wire or something to protect from burglary. And this is true for the single houses and the apartment buildings. Now, the neighborhood that we were walking around in had a lot of high-rise apartment buildings or condominiums, and they all had they were all fenced in with these bars. They tried to make them look nice, but they're still bars. But we walked up to one of the guard houses, and you couldn't see inside because the windows were all black. But we just reached through the bars and showed them the track, and just like this through the bars, and the guard came out, took the track, and was thankful, went back in. So we proceeded on, and like I said, there was many of these high rises in this neighborhood. So the next one we got to, we did the same thing, and put the track through the bars. Next thing I hear is this click, and the gate of the door was unlocked and opened. So and the guy, we see the hand coming out of the guardhouse for us to bring the track to him. And this didn't happen just once, but it happened at least five more times as we walked around the neighborhood. So these guys must all have been in communication with each other and just said, oh, let these guys in and give you the material. So, but I just thought it was amazing that these guys were taking such a risk opening the gate to perfect strangers. If they were Roman guards, they would have been executed. But again, God gets the glory because he wanted those men to get his word, even though they were behind locked doors. Now, let's see what time I got here. Okay. I was going to read some anecdotes that we put together while we were in Brazil, and these are posted on the website. But it doesn't look like I'm going to have time. You can go if you haven't read the trip report on the website. You can go there and keep going there because it's going to be updated with pictures. I haven't seen the pictures yet. I've seen a couple, but I can't wait to see the pictures from Sao Paulo, particularly the ones that show the at the end of the trip on Monday, we gave out our T-shirts to the homeless people that were living around the cathedral, and somebody got pictures of them wearing these T-shirts. So that should be really interesting to see. But I just wanted to, since it's getting close to the end of my time, I wanted to finish the report by talking about a young man who touched us all, well, most of us, while we were in Brazil, and is still touching me today. His name is Paulo Rodriguez da Silva, and he's 18 years old, and he's an office boy for one of the businesses downtown in Sao Paulo. Now, I believe it was Monday morning that Jason from Hawaii first met Paulo, and he gave him a track, and also he gave him a copy of To God Be the Glory. Later on that same day, Paulo came up to Chris, and he was asking for Volume 1. And what are you talking about? Well, here, he had already read the track and already read To God Be the Glory from the time that he received it in the morning till, I think that was early afternoon when he came, when you met him. So Chris brought him over to me to see if I had a copy of We're Almost There to give him. And Paulo spoke pretty good English, and we wound up getting into a discussion on many things about the Bible, and one of them was the end of the church age. And I remember him saying, "Wow, I'm going to have to leave my church." It was just like that. And it was amazing because he seemed to have a strong connection with his church, because he wanted to get more material so he could distribute it to the people of his church. Well, throughout the week, we kept seeing Paulo, and we were in different spots too. And all of a sudden, here comes Paulo. "Hey, Paul, how you doing?" And it was just amazing, the impression that he made on us. And now, when I got home to Pennsylvania last week, on my email, he had already written me an email while we were still in Sao Paulo. And I have that. I'd like to read it. Thought I had it. Where is it? He says, this is July 15th, Wednesday, which is like right in the middle of our time in Brazil. "Hi, Bob. How are you?" "Fine, I hope. I'll be waiting for your answer to talk about Jesus and his return to this world. It was really nice to meet you. By the glory of God, I understood everything you said, or almost everything. I hope you have understood what I said too. God bless you, and thanks to talk to me. Send a lot of hugs to your friends." And then I answered him. Now, before I answered him, I had already gotten a shipment from Family Radio of Portuguese tracks, "Does God Love You" tracks, that that I send to Brazil with the Bibles, and they had also sent me about 10 books, Family Radio books. I didn't even ask for them, and so when I wrote back to Paulo, I mentioned this. I said, "It's good to hear from you. I'm fine, and I hope you are too. We got back safely, and I'm just getting readjusted to being home after being in Sao Paulo for 11 days. We had a wonderful time giving God's warning to the people of your beautiful city. Can you send me your mailing address? I have some books that I want to send you from Family Radio. And these are The Washing Away of Our Sins, The First Principles of Bible Study, The Sabbath Day, Sunday the Sabbath Day, Speaking in Tongues, Feed My Sheep, Time as an End, End of the Church Age and After. Let me know which ones you want. You can have all of them if you say so. And some of these books are also listed on this link." And it's I sent him the link to the Portuguese site at Family Radio. Now, he wrote back to me and said, Hope you had a real good time here. Unfortunately, we didn't talk enough about all the things in the Bible. You have a lot of interesting viewpoints I wanted to hear about." And then he gives me his mailing address. "Thanks for sending me the books. Hope they help me to study. If you can, send me all of them, please. Don't forget, God is with you." So, That's a wonderful anecdote that I'm glad I could share with you. Now, as far as I know, everyone that flew out of Sao Paulo on Tuesday made it back home safely. But Harold and Roseanne went back to their, Harold went back to his hometown in Brazil, and Roseanne went flew further south into Brazil, and they both brought many tracts and booklets with them. And Lord willing, they were able to distribute them in the cities that they visited. So with that, I want to end this trip report. And if you have any questions, feel free to come up to me and ask me afterwards. But let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity and the means and the time and all of the things that we needed to go to Sao Paulo. We know that your hand was in this. We could see it, and we give you all the praise and the thanks and the glory for this wonderful trip. And we just think about all of the information we left behind with the people of Brazil. And we know that these tracts have a life of their own, and that even though we handed out about 110,000 tracts, we know that it's likely that many hundreds of thousands of people would be impacted by this this message of your coming. And we pray that your will be done in Sao Paulo and other parts of Brazil, and that you would have mercy on these people. And also that if you have other work for us to do in the coming 22 months, that you would make it clear to us. And we again want to thank you for your grace and mercy, and that you would bless all that we say and do today. In Jesus' name, amen.